This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Yeah. 7:07 now on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA. Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. All right, I want to get back to that fascinating conversation we had with the author of a great new book, Hollowed Out, A Warning About America's Next Generation, because it took me back to a movie that has long been a favorite of mine, The Big Chill. And I know I'm getting in the Wayback Machine here, but there's one key scene one of the characters, and who was that? Was that Kevin Costner's first role as a corpse? I think it was. But the minister doing the service asking the question, where has our hope gone? I ask you that question. I mean, this coming out on the heels of a study Gallup just did, talking about the fact that more Americans now say the coronavirus situation in the nation is growing worse at 45% rather than better, 40%. In June, a record 89% said the situation was getting better, while only 3% say that it's getting worse. Now, this marks the first time since January that more of us have been more pessimistic than optimistic about the COVID-19 scenario. There was greater pessimism than optimism for most of 2020. At its worst, 73% in November said the situation was deteriorating, and a dramatic surge in cases last fall. They worked through all the methodologies and the number of folks that they talked to. But it does beg the question, are you feeling more optimistic or pessimistic about the future of this nation? Sure, it's a struggle, but it isn't one that we have not seen before. How many double negatives can I put into one sentence? No, we have seen these struggles before. As we were talking yesterday, comparing 70s hippies to today's hipsters, they shared a lot of similarities. And no, I'm not one to generalize or to put everyone into one neat, convenient box. But, you know, we did share some commonalities generationally. But you have to wonder, have we lost the very essence of what brings us together as a nation? And are we failing our children? As the author said, the author of Hollowed Out, Jeremy Adams, are we failing our children? Because it seems now we're stressing more of that which divides us than that which unites us. Your thoughts this morning, 970-353-1310. Drop me a text on our 1310 KFKA text line. New texters, new number. All you have to do is text KFKA to 970-478-1301 the first time you use that number. And welcome to our texting cohort. And then you too can text away to your heart's content. And all opinions are welcome here. All right, 710, want to get into our local news roundup. Here we go again. Just as we thought the future of that Terry Ranch aquifer was pretty solid, hold on, wait a minute, not so much, as opponents have launched another run at the Terry Ranch aquifer. This is according to a piece by Trevor Reed out of the Greeley Trib, as the city of Greeley is now verifying signatures on not one, but two petitions turned in by an activist group that formed last year to oppose the city's acquisition of Terry Ranch. This is this amazing technology, this aquifer containing 1.2 million acre feet of water. And just in the interest of being totally transparent, I, like many of you, think it's absolutely brilliant as a proactive way to address our future water needs. But Save Greeley's Water, they don't agree. They turned in their petitions for city charter amendments just Monday afternoon. And if the petitions contain enough valid signatures, Greeley voters will have the option of drastically altering the city's acquisition, sale, and management of its water resources in November. Well, that's just brilliant. Let's just put it out to all of us that know very little about the complexities of water acquisition and management, water resources, and let us vote from an emotional perspective. Not saying that we shouldn't have our say, but we did have our say throughout the entire process. So, the first proposed amendment would put any sale, exchange, subrogation, trade, or lease of more than 5 years of any water rights, shares, or allotments. Do you even understand what all that means? No, but we're going to put it up to a vote. Shares or allotments to a citywide vote, additionally requiring a comprehensive engineering study, publication of the study, and advertisement of the study. Isn't all that information already available? I mean, weren't our city managers very open and transparent about those studies? You can read those studies if you're so inclined. Seems to me they're there. So is this a little bit redundant? Now, the petition for this amendment amassed a total of 4,282 signatures. To make the ballot, they need at least 3,101 verified signatures. And, of course, as is always the case, some of these signatures will be summarily thrown out because they're not valid. So you always gather more than you think you're going to need. Sean Chambers is director of the City Water and Sewer Department. He said the change would have a significant impact on the department's ability to lease out water to agricultural and industrial users, many who need leases of more than 5 years. And without the ability to lease water back to these users, Chambers said, the city will have a more difficult time making deals to acquire water. It seems as though basically what we're doing is getting into that standard GOP stance of a circular firing squad when it comes to actually drilling down, pardon the pun, but drilling down to the very essence of this, and that is ensuring a secure, reliable, and yes, safe future for our water needs. Second proposed amendment. This would put the purchase or leasing, as well as the providing of any groundwater and recycled wastewater, to a citywide vote, additionally requiring a comprehensive engineering study, its publication, and yes, its advertisement. Don't we have better things to be spending our money on? Because all of this is very costly. Now, for the second proposed amendment, there were 4,237 signatures turned in. Well, again, over the 3,101 required to make the ballot, but those signatures have yet to be verified, a process that the city clerk's office has until August 23rd to complete. Now, what about this second amendment? What impacts would it have? Well, Chambers, Sean Chambers, is director of the city's Water and Sewer Department. He said that the second amendment could potentially limit the city's ability to use the Terry Ranch water it acquired this year. City leaders, local developers celebrated, as did I, as did many of you, the city's acquisition of the aquifer as helping secure water required for continued development. And whether you're pro-development or you're against it and you just want to pull up the ladder and say, no, enough, enough, well, to borrow a phrase, they're going to come even if we don't build it. And they already are. And our water needs are going to continue to expand. The amendment would also affect the city's ability to provide non-potable water from groundwater and surface water to help irrigate golf courses, cemeteries, public parks, and other large users. Now, in opposing Terry Ranch, Save Greeley's Water has continued to cite uranium in the water as a major safety concern. This is despite the city's copious testing showing that it can treat uranium out of water. Guess what? You're going to find uranium in water sources. This is nothing out of the ordinary, and they know how to do it. The group also warns of various other contamination risks the city has investigated through independent firms and found it to be, the city did, minimal. Okay, you know what this all reminds me of? Sorry, going a bit afield here. The Environmental Protection Agency. The Environmental Protection Agency was found on a concept known as the paralyzing principle. What does that mean? Well, you sit around and you emit those numerous harumphs and you come up with the worst case scenario of what could go wrong. We're talking something catastrophic here. Something that, well, probably would never have happened. Oh, but it is scary and frightening and life-threatening. Okay, so you take the worst case scenario and you reverse engineer back from the worst case scenario in order to come up with rules and regulations defining any parameters relative to the issue you're discussing. That's what the Environmental Protection Agency was founded on, and I can't help but draw some parallels here. All right, you had one report by Leonard Rice Engineers Water, noting a layer of low permeability silty clays, clayey silts, I guess those are different than silty clays, siltstone and claystone means any surface contaminants would likely terminate, and again, this is written in Engineerese, terminate at the top of this layer and not migrate into the aquifer. If it did, it would move very slowly, providing the city time to respond before production wells are impacted. Yes, the city has published 18 other reports on the website, all looking at the project's safety and feasibility. So if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, and if you have some time, why not read those reports? But Save Greeley's Water wrote in a public letter to Greeley Water customers titled, "New Water Source Contaminated with Uranium." Ooh, that's scary, isn't it? Of course it is. But you need to put it into context, and the ability of those who work in water resources, their ability to treat that uranium. But no, no, no. Here's the letter from Save Greeley's Water, saying, "New water source contaminated with uranium has been purchased by the city of Greeley." Oh, oh, the humanity. It's nothing more than panic porn, in my humble opinion. How about yours? 970-353-1310. Drop me a text on our 1310 KFKA text line. But in the contents of the letter, it said, if they, the charter amendments, pass in November, the citizens will have the opportunity to prevent the sale of our Poudre River, Colorado Big Thompson, and Windy Gap water supplies. Letter continued, we'll also have some say in when or if that Terry Ranch water ever gets into our faucets. Do you really think that those in charge of Greeley Water want to deliver contaminated water? I wonder, and I ask this question with all due deference and respect, if those activists engaged in this campaign to shoot this thing down, if they read the reports relative to the Terry Ranch aquifer. Now, I haven't checked recently, but I imagine they're still up on the city website. Did they even take the time to look into this? Is this more of an emotional rather than a rational logical argument? City Clerk Anissa Hollingshead said this is the first charter amendment to come before the city via petition since the 1970s, and adds, to help us all understand the process, the city will be posting more information as well as updates of its reviews of the petition. Just never ends, right? 970-353-1310. 722 now, 1310 KFKA 101, 103.1. Yeah, we're still working that in. Excited about our FM signal, but still making it part of the lexicon. The 103.1 FM, Northern Colorado's voice. This time check sponsored by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, bringing you an incredible production of Shrek the Musical. Do yourself a favor. You'll laugh. You'll cry in a good way, and you're going to have an amazing time. Now, Shrek the Musical runs through August 22nd, so for tickets and show information, just jump online and visit ColoradoCandlelight.com. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, Broadway in your backyard.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, we're anticipating that Friday's jobs report, and apparently the market isn't much loving it too much. Keith Wyman, Presidential Wealth in Loveland, in at 7:34.
Investors got a hint this morning.
A whiff.
Yeah, okay. A whiff of maybe a little indication of what the big news of the week will show on Friday. Friday is the Labor Department's July jobs report. First Friday of every month, 6:30 in the morning, Mountain Time, we get the Labor Department's look at jobs the month before. So economists are expecting the report this Friday to show 845,000 new jobs during the month of July. The government jobs report comes out again on the first Friday of every month. Now, 2 days before that, usually on the first Wednesday of every month, depends on holidays and stuff like that. But 2 days before the government's jobs report, every month, ADP Payroll Services releases its report on new jobs in the private sector. Private sector, not government jobs. Well, that report this morning said that the private sector jobs increased by half of what economists were expecting. 330,000 jobs in July, the smallest gain since February, down from 600,000 the month before. Economists were expecting 653,000 new jobs in the ADP report this morning. Again, they got 330,000. That is an indicator that Friday's report from the government, the big one, is going to be weaker than economists expected.
That's not good.
And that's how analysts are reading it.
So what do you attribute that to? You know, I tend to go to the simplest common denominator in so many sectors of the public sector jobs index. Why create new jobs if you can't get people to fill the ones that you already have open?
Yeah, that's part of it. But up front, when you say what is it attributed to? What's everything attributed to now?
Politics.
No, COVID.
Politics, like
same
I said.
Same thing, right? Right, same thing.
A rose by any other name, or a thorn, as the case may be.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we go on hold tomorrow and wait until Friday for the big one, the July jobs report. But right now, investors and the markets are conditioned to think it's going to be weaker than the number that analysts are expecting.
That's very troubling. And I don't know. I'm still all caught up in my interview this morning with Jeremy Adams, a teacher that we wish we had all had, and rolling that in with that Gallup poll talking about the fact that we, and COVID-19 a driver, of course, as a nation less optimistic than we have been, particularly when it comes to when do we get out from under the dark cloud of COVID-19. And again, I just ask the question, where is our hope gone?
And then you got the Olympics, mm-hmm. were part of that as well. And then, well, we are pack animals, us human beings, and we like to be led, going to our most primal instincts. And could there be better leadership? Will there be better leadership? Just rhetorical questions at this point. Okay.
Well, that just seems to be an enduring question of people kind.
Yeah, yeah. But I think perhaps we're seeing the effects of a lack of leadership, at least in a positive direction right now, my opinion. So markets led down this morning by that disappointing indicator, that ADP jobs report, which indicates possibly more weakness on the jobs front coming in the big report from the government this Friday. Dow industrial average down 170, was down 200 just a few minutes ago. Now, that's not a big, huge drop. It's a 0.5%. After a record high for the S&P 500 yesterday, the S&P is down 13 points, a third of a percent. And the NASDAQ this morning is up 14.775. Yield on the 10-year Treasury, interest rates dropping again. That is a show of a lack of confidence or confidence waning.
Rush to safety.
Exactly. You got it. Perfect. Keep in mind the recent low on the 10-year U.S. 10-year Treasury, which is sort of a barometer of interest rates in the marketplace, of the public's attitude about interest rates. The recent low was 1.125. That was in July. We're at 1.14 this morning. Oil trades based on perceived demand in the future. And West Texas Intermediate, the U.S. benchmark crude oil, down. Remember, we were up, what, to 74? Dollars a barrel, $68.90 now. And Bitcoin, God knows where that goes or why, $38,800.
It's a hustle. Hey, not my words, Elon Musk.
Yeah, right, right.
But what is Bitcoin? Find that Saturday night. Find that Saturday Night Live sketch when Elon Musk, very controversially, of course, hosted the show. It's hysterical.
General Motors says second quarter earnings missed expectations despite strong profits. GM confirmed that its three full-size North American pickup truck assembly plants will be shut down next week because they can't get semiconductor chips for the trucks. CVS Health beat expectations on earnings and revenue, and both CVS Health and Walgreens say they're seeing a surge in vaccinations. That's a good thing.
There you have it.
Yep.
Another good thing is getting your plan together if you want to have some semblance of hope and optimism about those retirement years. Yeah, I know. We've been through it over the past year and a half. You've had a lot on your plate. Don't know where you are on your career trajectory, but the sooner you start with that retirement plan, the better. You can start ticking those things off that bucket list as you enter retirement. But once again, you need a plan that can adjust, adapt, and indeed advance to your benefit. That's why you need to get in touch with Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth in Loveland. All starts with a phone call and, well, a few questions.
Any question you have, including, okay, how does this plan thing work?
What's the meaning of life?
There you go.
Well, you said any questions.
Why not? Why not? Yeah, yeah. It's any place a good place to start with regard to that process. And it ain't brain surgery. It's not as complicated as you might think. So if you want to learn more about that, give me a call at our Loveland Presidential Wealth Office, 970-776-7500, 776-7500. And here's the deal. Question occurs over the weekend, in conversation or what? Plant it on my voicemail. And you may hear the answer on the air next week, 970-776-7500.
Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth at Loveland, thanks so much. Yep. 742 now, 103.1, 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's Voice, as our local news roundup continues in just a few.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NoCo Now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Yes, Mike Peters, a gnarly trombone, I agree with you. What are we going to do when Roy Otto, Greeley City Manager, requires, and that time draws ever nigh, as he did announce his retirement as our city manager in July. His last day is on August 18th. 752 now, 103.1, 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's Voice. Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. You got to find that piece in the Greeley Trib. It'll crack you up. As Mike Peters, writing under the pseudonym Gnarly Trombone, persona that we have all come to so love over the years, saying, who are we going to blame if we don't have Roy Otto to kick around anymore? All meant, of course, in good fun. But as, his resignation approaches, Morgan McKenzie, writing in the Greeley Trib, says that while the city is searching for a successor for city manager Roy Otto, Greeley City Council on Tuesday appointed Ray C. Lee III to assume those duties in the short term. Mr. Lee will transition to acting as city manager on August 18th, as previously mentioned, which is Roy Otto's last day. Now, who is Ray C. Lee III? Well, he has more than 13 years of experience as a leader in municipal government. He was appointed deputy city manager in December. Through his current role with the city, he oversees public works, economic health and housing, community development, and, well, a host of other important roles and responsibilities. Mayor John Gates said in the release, during his time with the city, Raymond has shown tremendous leadership ability. The council consensus to appoint a seasoned professional ensures continuity of city operations, always important as a parenthetical there, and administrative leadership while council begins a comprehensive and deliberate national search for Greeley's next city manager. Now, before his time in Greeley, Raymond worked as a public works director for Amarillo, Texas, and the assistant director of street services in Dallas. He has experience and has served in other departments such as city secretary's office, human resources, risk management, and library services. Now, Mr. Lee in the release said that he is truly excited about the opportunity and the future of Greeley as well, adding that he gets motivated and excited each and every day to support and sustain the dedicated citizens, leaders, and stakeholders, of which there are many of this community. I'm thankful and honored in the level of confidence the City Council has in me. I am here, he continued, to serve the City of Greeley in any capacity necessary. The City has an amazing team, and I second that emotion, and we are committed committed to ensuring Greeley is a great place to live, work, and play. Lee has certifications in many fields, including project management, inclusion and diversity, labor relations, leadership coaching, and financial management, again, according to the release. He earned a bachelor's degree in public administration from Henderson State University, master's degree in public administration from the University of Kansas. He was also accepted into the 2021 Harvard University Senior Executives in State and Local Government Program. An accomplishment there. This as the Greeley City Council, as it continues to search for a successor for Greeley City Manager Ray Otto, has appointed Ray C. Lee III in that interim position, acting as acting city manager beginning August 18th, which, by the way, is Roy Otto's last day on the job. 7:57 now, 103.1, 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's Voice. Now, on a more serious note, although that is certainly important news, perhaps better said on a tragic note, Trevor Reed writing in the Trib that Greeley police are seeking information from all of us after a male victim was shot and killed early Monday morning in a neighborhood south of the Greeley Mall. The victim's identity is being withheld pending notification of next of kin. Apparently, it was 1 a.m. Monday. Evans and Greeley police responded to a report of a man lying on the ground in the 2000 block of 31st Street Road in Greeley. Upon arrival, police found a male victim suffering from a gunshot wound. He was treated on scene, taken to a local hospital where, sadly, he was pronounced dead. The Greeley Police Department requests anyone with information related to the case contact Detective Robert Cash at 970-350-9601. Again, that number, 350-9601. You can also submit an anonymous tip by going to crimeshurt.com. Closing in on 7:58 now, 1310 KFKA, 103.1 Greeley.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Coming up, 8:05, Sherry Pipe, investigative journalist, Complete Colorado. KFKA Greeley, 8 o'clock.